Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in Paul's letter to the congregation in Rome, chapter 8, beginning with the 28th verse. Dear friends in Christ, let's say you have a big project at work, and you and a small group of your co-workers were assigned to work on this project, and you've been working on it for quite a while. But the deadline is approaching, and you can't quite figure it all out. You've come across some sort of major problem. You've hit a snag. You're at an impasse. You don't know what to do. You're worried because your job depends on the work you and your co-workers get done. Your livelihood depends on it. The livelihood and taking care of your families depends on this project, and you're at an impasse. But then, another co-worker comes into the room where you guys are working on your project, and he says, "Don't worry about it. I'll take care of everything." "Are you sure?" someone replies. "Trust me. I've got this." Do you trust him? It probably depends heavily on what you know about this person. Even then, there's probably not a single person in this room that would just hand over the project to this man who had nothing to do with the project before. You're certainly going to ask him many questions, and if he answers your questions satisfactorily, well, then maybe you might trust him. What does it mean to trust? We might see trust as a synonym for belief or faith. If you trust someone, you believe that they exist, and you have faith that they are able to do what they say they can do. We might use that term trust, or we might use the different terms of rely or confidence to define what trust is. You have confidence in the knowledge and abilities of the surgeon before you let him cut you open. You have confidence in the honesty and integrity of a financial planner before you let him mess around with your money. You rely on God. You have confidence in him. You have faith in him. You believe in him that he will keep you from all harm and danger, and that he will save you. There are a lot of things that happen in our lives. Good things and bad things. Things that make you happy, sad, make you angry or excited, or maybe a lot of things that you're just indifferent about. Things happen in and around us and to us and to those we love constantly. Many good things. Many exciting things and things that make us happy, but those often don't cause us problems in life. It's the bad things that we're going to focus on today. It's the things that cause you to suffer. Things that cause you trouble. Tribulation. Things like sicknesses and diseases. Death. Things like being rejected by loved ones or people you trusted letting you down. Maybe it's just the overall wickedness and chaos of society. Maybe it's not something that's particularly bad or good in and of itself. It's just not something that you wanted to happen. It's not what you wanted to see take place. And now you're suffering, or now you think it's bad because it's not what you wanted to happen. Maybe it's something you did. Something you said. Something you didn't do. Maybe it was a mistake on your part. Maybe you did it on purpose. But because of something that you did, you have to face the consequences. And now you're suffering. Now you're going through a horrible time in your life. Maybe someone else did it to you. Maybe it was a mistake. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe they wanted to make you suffer on purpose. So they said something or did something, and now you are going through a trouble or difficulty in your life because of someone else's sin. or maybe is no one's fault. Maybe it was something that was out of your control or out of control of someone else, and it just happened, and now you're suffering because of it. How do we react? How do you react when a trouble or a difficulty arises in your life? Whether it was something you did or someone else did or something that's neither good nor bad. How do you react? Well, we can act in a positive way or we can act in a negative way. And there are many different ways we can act in a negative way when bad things happen in our lives. One common way is to complain. The woe is me attitude. Oh, my life is so horrible. Why do I always have it so bad? How come bad things always seem to happen to me and no one else? How come life is always dragging me down and I can never get ahead in life? We might become distraught, fallen into despair, upset. Wonder why your life is so much worse than everyone else's. Thinking to yourself, oh, you know, my life is never going to get better. And to a certain extent, that might be true because we live in a sinful world. But then we go even a step farther and say, my life is worse than anybody else's, and I am all alone, and no one cares about me. This may lead us to complain about God, at least to yourself. Why doesn't God love me? Why doesn't God take care of me? If God can do all things like he says he can, if he knows all things, and if he loves me, then why does he allow me to suffer? Why does he allow all these bad things to happen to me in my life time and time again? Maybe God can't do what he says he can do. Maybe God has lost control of this sinful world. Maybe God just doesn't care enough about me to take away my pain. The devil uses such doubt and he creates even more doubt in our hearts. Maybe God can't take care of me. Maybe things won't get better. Maybe I need to worry about myself. Maybe I shouldn't worry so much about God and worry so much about what God wants me to do, but worry more about what I want. Maybe I'll just work harder. Keep more money for myself. Do what pleases me. I'll do what makes me happy. I'll take care of myself, and that way my life is better, my life is easier, and I'm overall happy. But there's a better way to react when bad things happen. Instead of complaining about our lives, instead of complaining about God, or trusting in ourselves and our own happiness, we see how Paul responds in verse 28. This verse has been comforting Christians for thousands of years, ever since the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write it down. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All things work out for good. All things. Not just the good things. Not just the things that we consider blessings by God, the things that make us happy, but all things work out for good. All things includes the bad things, or at least the things that we think are bad. Whatever causes you pain and sorrow, the sicknesses, the accidents, the money problems, the family issues, all the many things that didn't go your way, that didn't turn out exactly as you wanted, they will turn out for good. Everything turns out for good. For good. For your eternal well-being. All things work out for good. Much more comforting than saying something like, well, all things happen for a reason. That's a fatalistic attitude. What if that reason is to make me suffer? No, this is much more comforting. All things work out for good. That is saying that God is in control. This side of heaven, we don't see all the many times that God keeps bad things from our lives. And all the many times he prohibits evil and bad from becoming even worse. God is in complete control. no matter what happens in our lives, God will make it turn out for our good. Everything, somehow, in some way, will be for your benefit. Your sickness, your disease, good. Your pain, good. Your financial problems, good. Your family issues, good. You losing your job, good. Your team losing the big game, good. You get the point. Everything turns out for good. And because God promises us that, we know it's true. But God doesn't promise that you are going to see the good. Oh, sure, we see the good every once in a while. We may see something that we thought was bad at first, but eventually it turned out good. Maybe we don't notice the good till decades later. As we look back at our life and see how our life turned out, we see how what we thought was bad actually turned out to good. And there are many times we won't see the good until we get to heaven. We live from underneath heaven. It looks messy. It looks chaotic. It's like looking at the backside of a quilt or something of the sort. We don't see how it all fits together. We can't see the beautiful tapestry that God is weaving together to make this beautiful thing, that make everything beautiful and good in our lives. We see the mess. We see the chaos. We can't see all the good. That's where trust comes in. We trust God that He knows what He's doing. We trust His promises that no matter what happens, it will be for our good, no matter how messy it looks like from down here. Case in point, Jesus and His death. That looked messy, didn't it? It looked chaotic. Betrayed by His own disciple Judas. Arrested and put on an illegal trial by His own countrymen. He was beaten, He was flogged, He was spit upon, mocked, and ridiculed, crowned with thorns before He was crucified on a cross with two other common criminals. But God used that bad for good. He used the greed and selfishness of Judas, the hardness of heart of the Jewish leaders, the lack of leadership and integrity by Pilate to bring about Jesus' death. It was God's will that Jesus died. It was Jesus' will. He willingly went to the cross because they both knew that by the cross He would pay for our sins. By the cross He would remove our sins and give us His perfect life, suffering through our eternal punishment. They knew that 3 days after Jesus' death He would rise from the dead and He would give us that ultimate victory. God brought about eternal good through the bad and the wickedness of others. Our look at our two lessons for today. Joseph's brothers betrayed him. They sold him into slavery. But God used that. He brought about a change of events again and again that led to Joseph becoming the second in command of all of Egypt. And so he saved many lives during a famine, including the lives of his brothers, and he kept the line of the Savior intact. Or take our gospel for today, the gospel that was supposed to be read. Peter's mother-in-law was sick, on her deathbed essentially. Jesus took her by the hand, revealed Himself as the Lord and Savior of the world, and healed her. Good from bad. Even though it seems impossible that any good might come out of a situation, good from bad. There's even more comfort for us when we go through troubles and difficulties in our lives. God knows you. He knows all things. He knows everything about you. And He knows you before you were ever born, before the world was even created. God knew you everything about you and everything that you would suffer through. And those God foreknew, He also predestined. That means that He elected you. He chose you to be saved, that you might share in the glory of Christ and become an heir of salvation. And those God predestined, He also called. What God decided in eternity, He carried out in time. In other words, He called you through the gospel. He brought you to faith so that you would receive the blessings that Christ won for you. Those He called, He also justified. God's act of declaring us not guilty. He acquits us, not counting our sins against us because of Christ, but forgiving us and declaring us not guilty. Those He justified, He also glorified. For us, this takes place in the future. But because Christ has already saved us, it's as good as done. We will be glorified. We will share in the glory of Christ as we live with Him in heaven forever. There in heaven, be free from pain, free from sorrow, free from troubles, free from afflictions. 10 verses before our text began, in verse 18, Paul writes, "Our present suffering are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us." One of the reasons why it's true that our glory will far outweigh our sufferings is because Christ, God, makes whatever we suffer through into good. Another reason? Because no matter what happens, no matter what troubles or difficulties we face, they pale in comparison to the glories and riches we have in heaven. God knows you. He has called you. He has brought you to faith. Christ has forgiven you. He has glorified you. You will live in heaven forever. So when we suffer, when we go through troubles or difficulties, we look to heaven. We look forward to the place. There's no more pain or weeping or gnashing of teeth because the old order of things has passed away. So no matter what happens in your life, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, no matter if it's something you did or someone else did, or maybe something that just didn't turn out the way you wanted it to go, everything will eventually be turned into good for you. You may not always see the good, but we trust that it will be good. About that coworker who said, "Trust me, I've got this." We said about him, you trust him partly based on what you know about the guy. What do you know about God? God saying all things will be worked into good is essentially His saying, "Trust me, I've got this. Trust me with your life. I'll take care of everything." And what do we know about God? Well, He knows all and can do all and promises that all will turn out for our good. He's a God who loves us, who sent His Son to suffer and die to save us. He's a God who willingly gave up His life and rose from the dead. He is one who has kept all His promises, and one who promises to take care of all things for our good. Trust Him with our lives, because God will take care of us. He knows what He is doing. At all times and in every circumstance, no matter what happens in your life, trust Him, who will make everything turn out for our good and will take us to heaven, where we will praise Him in eternal glory. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.